Sharing with you and welcome as we gather together in the praise and worship of God. Also want to welcome those of you who will listen to this service at a different time through the recording, and we are so glad that we're able to play. Friday was All Saints Day. Now depending a little bit on our background, All Saints Day is something that we either acknowledge with deep sincerity, or it might be a day that just passes us by completely. Depends a little bit on where we've come from. But today, in acknowledging All Saints Day, we simply remember that we are in constant fellowship with an immense community of God's people around the world and across the centuries, all who know the love of Christ and who delight in him. And on your bulletins, and also so the screen here, there's a stained glass window with a light shining through onto a wall, and that might be a helpful image for today as we reflect on All Saints, and to simply see it as a saint is someone who the light of Christ shines through. That might be helpful to think of it as simply as that. So today I'm going to use a variety of prayers from across the centuries, and at times the language might reflect that a little bit, although I've adapted most of them in some shape or form. And so I want to start with some verses from Psalm 145, And of course, so many of the Psalms, if not all of them, are prayers. And so I want to start with some verses from that, followed by a prayer from Saint Benedict in the 6th century, when we were much younger. But from the 6th century. First of all, these verses from Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Gracious and holy God, give us diligence to seek you, wisdom to perceive you, and patience to wait for you. Grant us, O God, a mind to meditate on you, eyes to behold you, ears to listen for your word, a heart to love you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue to sing in praise of God with Let Us Sing to the God of Salvation. Sight above our thought, infinite, eternal, and unsearchable. Your wisdom shines in all your works. Your glory is shown in your goodness to all people. Your grace and truth are revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. We join with all of creation in heaven and earth to sing your praises and to offer you worship, for you are worthy of adoration from every mouth, and every tongue should praise you. You create the earth by your power, you save us by your mercy, and you make us new by your grace. To you we lift up our hearts and we worship you, one God, for ever and ever. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and at times by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. Forgive us, we pray. Hear us, Lord, as we continue our confession in some moments of quietness. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for your mercy that reaches out, for your patience that waits our returning, and for your love that seeks us out and is ever ready to welcome us home. Grant that with our hearts and minds and strength, we may always seek your face. And finally, in your infinite mercy, bring us to your holy presence. So strengthen our weaknesses that following in the footsteps of your blessed Son, we may obtain your mercy and enter your promised joy. Amen. From John chapter 3, we hear that God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The good news is that in Christ our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now, we'd normally take a moment to share with each other a word of welcome. That's going to be a little bit later this morning, okay? Now here's some news of our life together. Rosemary, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And we've got a special welcome today for Fran. I'm just her daughter Sue. It's lovely to see Fran and Sue here today. And please keep Coral in your prayers. She's broken her arm.
Oh.
So I hope she can do the finances for the council for the meeting. I hope she keep her in your prayers. Hope that she will soon be better. Now on to the notices. This Friday the 8th is a men's lunch at one table. Please let you and Perry know if you'd like to come. The following Monday, the 11th of the 11th, at 12:30, that's the Women's Fellowship at one table. So please let Jan or I know if you can come to that. Thursday the 21st of November is the final Music Lovers for the year, and it's going to be a French choir chantifique. They're from Alliance Francaise. You can go to if you want to learn French. So their choir, which is always enjoyable, it's 10 o'clock and $10. Then on the 24th, our big day, is the congregational meeting with the annual reports for 2024 and a rundown of the finances and the proposed budgets for July 24 to June 25. Please, all the people who are activity leaders, please send your reports in to Courtney in the office, and the deadline for that is the 12th of November, but please send them as soon as possible so they're not all coming together. The 24th Sunday is of course our congregational lunch. That's 1 o'clock at one table, $35 each, and you need to pay beforehand. Women's Refuge, don't forget the hampers of non-perishable food at the back there. And holiday rosters, please let Courtney or know or Dawn if you won't be here. I think Dawn sent out the roster, so anyone, please check them to make sure you're okay on the days you've been rostered on. Okay, thank you.
Do this again. I can only do one thing at a time.
And also you might note that Reflections is available as well today. And just to acknowledge Dawn in printing, it's no mean feat to put Reflections together. And also, who assisted you with the printing? Was it Rose?
I've got a lot of helpers. Selma was down here yesterday printing.
Yeah. So thank you for the team that to put that you, Dawn. Thank you for your efforts in that regard. And also, as I mentioned last week, just during the month of November, I'll be down at one table on Wednesday mornings just for an hour from 10 to 11, doing some reading, having a cuppa, and you're more than welcome to come and just join me for some fellowship, for a chat, and catching up. And as I mentioned last week, I'm still catching up with you and visiting and doing all those sorts of things. That's simply just another opportunity just to touch base with folks, so you're more than welcome to come Wednesday morning, 10 o'clock, just for an hour. We sing Alleluia, Alleluia, give thanks to the risen Lord. And then there's a couple of words I'll say by way of introduction to the passage, and then Marlene will come forward and read our gospel reading. So Alleluia, Alleluia. Readings, I want to share this prayer for God to help us in our understanding of that. And this is from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's a little bit different from the last few weeks, where we've been going through Mark's Gospel, particularly chapters 8 to 10. So we're going to have a bit of a breather today, as it were. But next week, we're going to start a three-week series on the Book of Ruth. The Book of Ruth. So if you're someone who follows the lectionary readings, you'll note that the readings in Ruth start today and next week. We'll take 3 weeks to look at those, the Book of Ruth. And it's only just a small book, chapters 1, 2, 3, 4. So I encourage you during the week to read those four chapters. That would be really helpful. But it's really good because that will actually take us right through to Christ the King Sunday, which in the Book of Ruth is really appropriate when we get to the end of the story week. It's a great story, the Book of Ruth, of a very small family, yes, but it's also a significant part of God's big story of what God is doing and God's continuing plan of salvation. And so next week, there will be a few spoiler alerts in chapter 1 for what's to come. So just get ready for that. So feel free to read the whole thing. But today, as I mentioned, I want to offer a relatively short reflection for All Saints Day. And as such, we hear these verses from Matthew chapter 5. Thanks, Mari.
Reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Jesus saw the crowds and went on the hill. When he sat down, his disciples gathered around him and began to teach them. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble. They will receive what God has promised. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requests. God will satisfy them fully. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them.
appeal pure in heart, but they will see God. Happy are those who work for peace, God will call them his children. Happy are those who are persecuted, because they do what God requires. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are you when people insult you and persecute you, and tell all kinds of evil lies against you, because you are my followers. Be happy and glad, for a great reward is kept for you in heaven. This is how the prophets who lived before you were persecuted. Thanks be to God.
Now, when people often think of saints, they most often think of people like St. Paul, St. John, St. Francis, St. Teresa of Avila, or St. Ignatius of Loyola, Mother Teresa, all those kind of people. In short, they think of those people that the church has long declared to be saints, those people whose faith and vision and moral integrity has been thoroughly examined and widely recognised. And we often see churches around that bear the name of a saint, and I dare say that some of you have attended them, St. Paul's, St. Andrew's, St. Stephen's. Back many years ago when I lived in Claremont in central Queensland, the local Anglican church was All Saints Anglican Church, and so they would have their patronal festival on this weekend, and that was a fairly significant time for them, and part of that was recalling their history and those who had gone before them. And then the Apostles' Creed, which we will be invited to say shortly, at one point affirms of saints, that is, that great company who have gone before us, who have been the servants of Jesus in their day and generation. So there's a sense of continuity, of oneness throughout the ages of which we are a part. And perhaps All Saints' Day comes down to this, that Jesus continues to call us to be faithful servants, to see ourselves as part of the one body of Christ, that we too might become a part of the great cloud of witnesses, that we too share in the communion of saints, as the Apostles' Creed says. One of the readings often associated with All Saints' Day is that one that Marlene just read, Matthew chapter 5. And speaking of the Beatitudes, as we often know them as, these characteristics of life in the kingdom, Jesus turns things on their head, as he often did. He speaks here of the unexpected. Fulfillment in life is found in the opposite of what would normally be expected, and is found by those whom, on the surface, could be least expected to find it. The disciples, whom Jesus is primarily talking to at this point, would experience more and more of this life of contrast that Jesus had called them to, and they would continue to struggle to understand what it was all about. And that's part of what we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. And it's these same followers who are later seen and identified as saints, St. Peter, St. Andrew, etc., etc. Frederick Buchner, in speaking of those first 12, writes this. He says, there is no evidence that Jesus chose them because they were brighter or nicer than other people. In fact, the New Testament record suggests that they were continually missing the point, jockeying for position, and when the chips were down, interested in nothing so much as saving their own skins. Their sole gratification seems to have been their initial willingness to rise to their feet when Jesus said, "Follow me." End of quote. Their initial willingness to rise to their feet when Jesus said, "Follow me." As we consider the great saints of the church, or saintly people down through the years, we recognise their faithful service to Jesus. And yet as we do so, we need to remember that their faithful service adds no more to their ability to be saved than does ours. And as we recognise Christ's call to them, we are also able to recognise Christ's call to each of us to come follow, to be faithful servants, to be modern day saints, as it were, to be people who seek to reflect the love and grace of Christ, to be people who reflect the character of God revealed in Jesus, in, for example, the Beatitudes that we hear in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And as we reflect on those characteristics, we may well discover that we do not need to look beyond these walls to recognise faithful saints today. David Lowes, in making comment on this passage, says that we reserve words like holy and sacred and saints for church stuff that when it applies equally, if not even more, to the mundane elements of everyday life that have the capacity to be transformed into arenas where we perceive and participate in God's gracious intent to care for the world that God loves so much. There is precious little in our life that can't be a place where God is at work to heal, to comfort, and to restore. And as I meet with you, I hear that again and again and again. I hear a lot of those stories of that very thing, of the everyday moments of life. And in fact, now Liz, this is where I want to invite you to come forward. I've just asked Liz to come forward, and because she's got one of these stories that reflects this about the refresh shop. Okay? And she mentioned this last week, and I thought, gee, this fits in so well with today, of thinking about just those everyday moments. And so Liz, just come forward, if you stand there. So this is, if you'd like to tell the story that you told last week about the refresh shop. Thank you.
Before I talk about this conversation, I want to preface it with just a few remarks. I know that within the shop, there has to be confidentiality between customer and the person who's serving them. So therefore, there will be anonymity. Also, very relevant to this conversation is this lady is a very reserved lady from another culture. So she doesn't open up and she doesn't show emotions very much at all. And also, in this conversation, I felt the Lord's presence. And the last point is that I'm telling this verbatim. I was playing around with a plant, getting it ready for Sunday, this was last Friday week. And I heard this voice coming towards me through the church saying, "Excuse me, can you tell me the price, please?" And I quickly turned around and said, "Look, I'm terribly sorry. I don't work in the shop anymore, would you?" And before I finished, she looked up. And I said, "I know you. You're the lady with the little boy." And she smiled and said, "That little boy is now 16. And then she said, "Do you remember I was looking for a job?" I said, "I remember that very, very clearly." And then she said, I have a job. Now we are all right." And I said, "Oh, I'm so glad to hear this." She said, "I come to this shop when I don't even want to buy anything." She said, "I feel calm." And she put her hands up. "I feel calm." And then she put her hands down with a garment over. I feel calm all over. And I said, I understand. I said, that's because you're in a Christian church, a Christian household. And she said, yes, I know, yes. And I said, the people who work here want to work here and they like it. And she said, yes, yes. And then she got a little bit overwhelmed that she was telling me something. And she quickly put her head down and said, oh, I've got to go and buy this. And she turned and went back into the shop.
If you want to hear any more detail of that story, I'm sure that you'll be able to catch up with Liz afterwards. There's a few other bits and pieces in it as well. But so, again, just thank you so much for, and it's again, it's a great recognition that, and I forget who I think Bill said last week, that this refresh shop was always not just simply about selling things for people, but there were these conversations that would happen. And so it's a really wonderful thing to hear that that continues to be the case. And as I say, before Liz said that, it's about these, this, again, David Lowe says, there's precious little in our life that can't be a place where God is at work to heal, to comfort, and to restore. So this week, I encourage you to do two things. One, to take some time to think about those who have gone before you, especially those who have been significant in your own faith journey, and to give thanks for them. The second thing is to take some time to think about where God is at work in your everyday life. What are the stories, like the story that Liz just told, where are those stories? As I said, I mean, I hear them when I come and meet with you, I hear them, and they're beautiful to hear. So take some time to think about and to give thanks for those who have gone before you, and also take some time to think about, where is God at work in my everyday life? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We now share in the Apostles' Creed. And I invite you, if you're able to stand as we share and affirm our faith with those across the centuries, ever since, well, the 4th and 5th century, really, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So now, as we recognise each other as being part of the communion of saints, I invite us as such to share in a word of peace, a word of greeting with each other at this point as part of that communion of saints. And so the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And always with you.
Thank you, God. Don't worry. You got your eyes.
And just before we sing our, I'm just going to sing two verses of the next hymn as well. It was one of the great joys for me to come here. Someone, and some of you will know, I had some association with Kenmore many, many, many years ago. And one of the great joys is to recognise the significance of those who I meet, who I knew back then, and of what you have done. When I think about communion of saints, you've been that, and you were that for me as a young adult here. And that's such a great thing, and I really want to affirm that, and it's really wonderful. And for those others that have been coming along since then that I haven't met, It's a really treasured thing to meet you as well and recognise the part that you have been in the life of this congregation and continue to be in this place. So thank you for that. We sing two verses of Hallelujah Sing to Jesus, and the other two we'll sing before communion today. So the verses 1 and 2. And the offering will be received during these two verses. Thank you. Eternal God, to whom we turn in every need, receive the gifts we offer, our lives and the symbols of our living, that inspired by your Holy Spirit, we may love you, heart, soul, mind and strength, and our neighbour to your glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
And so to our prayers for others this morning, and Gemma was due to do the prayers this morning. As we heard earlier on, she's away this weekend at a funeral. In fact, we'll say a prayer for her during this time. And Dawn was going to step in, but with everything else there, I said, how about I do this morning? And so I'll be leading us in our prayers. We also mentioned earlier, and we'll include a prayer for Coralie. And that happened when she was about to play tennis and just tripped, unfortunately, and has, yes, broken in her right arm up here. She's home. One of her daughters is up from Sydney, and her other daughter will be up early in the week as well. And so when I spoke with her late yesterday afternoon, I said, is that okay just to mention that we could pray for you publicly? And she said, yes, that would be fine. So we'll include a prayer for Coralie as well. And also the other thing that I'll pray for, and it fits pretty well with two things. One, in Matthew chapter 5, there was a prayer where Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Today, I think it's today. Today is a day of prayer for persecuted Christians. Lots of places across the world are taking this day, particularly, to pray for Christians who are persecuted. And so, I'm going to include some prayers for that generally, but also more particularly for Christians in Sudan and in Nigeria. And so this is, I got some things from Open Doors, and again, thanks Liz for that reference too. For both Sudan and Nigeria, there's lots of places where things are very difficult to be Christian, and this is simply two of those places. As the war rages on between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces, the situation becomes increasingly precarious for Christians. On the 11th of October, so what, a couple of weeks ago, the Sudanese armed forces arrested 26 Christians as they were fleeing their community in Khartoum to seek refuge from the ongoing fighting. Since then, 8 have been released, but 18 remain imprisoned, so we'll pray for them. But then also in Nigeria, and very difficult, and from time to time, thing comes across our news about the situation in Nigeria, and there's often, that's in regards to those who are taken hostage, women and children. And most recently there are some that have been released, and so part of what Open Doors prayers are giving thanks for that, but continue to pray for those who have been taken by Boko Haram, and that will form part of our prayer as well, to pray for the remaining hostages. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to offer the thanks for the blessings that we enjoy. We give thanks for the many seen and unseen people who contribute to our daily life. We thank you for those who grow and prepare our daily bread. We thank you for those who develop and maintain the energy supply and transport systems that we have access to. We give thanks for those who work to keep us safe, those in the emergency services, police. We pray, Lord, for places across this world that are in turmoil. Our prayers continue for peace negotiations to emerge amidst the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. And today, we especially pray for the unfolding situation in Lebanon. Please, Lord, may peace come. We pray, O Lord, for on this day of prayer for persecuted Christians. But we pray particularly for those in Sudan and Nigeria. We pray for the quick release of those remaining in Sudan who are imprisoned, that they'll be safely united with their families and community. And Lord, please protect each one from the abuse that they may be facing. And similarly in Nigeria, we are thankful that some have been released, but we continue to pray for those who remain hostages, and that you'll keep their families safe, keep them encouraged in the things of Christ, that they may not lose hope as they trust you and as they look to be reunited. Indeed, Lord, we pray for your peace around the world, for those who suffer mistreatment and imprisonment and loss of possessions and threats of death because they claim the name of Jesus. Strengthen them for their continued service to Christ. Be their shield, their defence, their refuge and their stronghold. Shelter them under the shadow of your wings. We pray, Lord, for your church across Kenmore and District. Particularly today, we pray for Kenmore Brookfield Anglican Church as they prepare to welcome their new minister shortly. May they know your blessing, your guidance, as they seek to share the good news of Jesus. We pray, O Lord, for wisdom and insight for our own congregation as we look to continue God's mission in and around us into the future. Today, we give thanks for the Refresh Shop, and for all who share in that, for their generosity of time and effort and their willingness to serve the wider community in this way. Lord, we pray for us as a church family and bring before you the particular needs of those who face difficulty at this time. We certainly pray, O Lord, for Coralie that she may be particularly conscious of your presence and of your peace. Thank you for the care of family that with her, but also the care of many within the life of our congregation to her. We also pray, Lord, for Gemma this weekend in her time away from us in attending the funeral. May she know and those who gather and have gathered of your comfort and strength. We're also mindful, Lord, of those who are away from us at this time, either overseas or more locally. Please continue to be with them that they may be reassured of your peace and of your presence also. In the silence of these next few moments, we bring, O Lord, to you our own needs and those of others who lay heavy on our hearts and minds in this time. Please hear and answer us according to your mercy, Heavenly Father, and glorify your name in our midst, that all may know you are the Lord and that nothing is impossible for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing now the last two verses of Hallelujah, Bread of Heaven, as we prepare. Table of the Lord, and he calls us to this sacred feast. We come not because we are strong, but because we are weak. We come not because of any goodness of our own, but because we need mercy and help. We come because we love the Lord a little and would want to love him more. We come because he loves us and gave himself for us. And so the prayer of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your own image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Your Spirit anointed Jesus to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and this fruit of the vine. May we know Christ's presence real and true. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet amongst the communion of saints. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all glory and honour is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. And we share the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ was broken for you, and the blood of Christ was shed for you. We share now, for all is prepared. Body of Christ broken for us. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Thank you, O God, that you have fed us in this sacrament, that you have united us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all. We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Now, Jenny, I think we might sing first and last of this next one. So, first and last of the Church's One Foundation and Benediction, and then we close. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.